Would you please pray with me? May the words from my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So beginning the Sunday after Christmas, we started the Gospel of Mark. And every Sunday we've been following this story. We've learned of this itinerant preacher who was baptized in the Jordan River, traveling from town to town, healing and preaching and talking about the kingdom of God. And today we get to the end of the gospel. And the part that Sandra just read for us is considered by many scholars to be the original ending of the Gospel of Mark. So all of this story, and it builds up, and we hear about the crucifixion, and Jesus is put in the tomb, and then these women go to get Jesus, and they find the tomb empty, and they head out, and they don't say anything to anyone, because they are afraid. And that's where the story ends. Maybe a little bit different than we're expecting. As Sandra mentioned, the Gospel of Mark is considered to be the first gospel that was written, probably written about 35 years or so after the crucifixion. And you would expect for it to end on a hopeful note, on a note of Jesus riding through the clouds on a horse and everybody in a parade behind him and the whole world changed and transformed. But instead, what we get are a handful of his closest disciples, these women who say nothing to no one because they are afraid. Put yourself in their place. How would you feel? Just a couple of days ago, you saw your friend, your mentor, your teacher put to death because of the radical things that he said. This man that you expected to come and save the world has died, put to death by the authorities, by the religious leaders, by the people. And you've spent some time grieving. And now you're going to do what is called, you are called to do. You're going to prepare the body. You're going to sit a vigil. You're going to say goodbye. And you go, and the tomb is empty. How would you feel? I think that these women were afraid because they had no idea what was going on. I think that these women were afraid because maybe they had just that little bit of hope that this story was true. What if Jesus wasn't there anymore? What if Jesus had ridden? What if the past couple days had all been some kind of a nightmare and Jesus was alive again? And that hope just builds and you're confronted by more fear. Because what if it's not true? What if I get my hopes up, but whoever it was that was sitting in that tomb is lying to me? And what are people going to say if I tell them this story? For a week, people have been clamoring for this man's death. There have been riots. He's been handed over. He's been betrayed, he's been denied, and now I'm just going to walk around and say, oh no, it's not true. Jesus is alive. It's a little bit easier for us on this side of Easter because we know how the story ends. We know that it's true. We know that Jesus did rise. We know that that empty tomb really means something because we have other stories of people seeing the risen Christ, of people eating with him, of people encountering Christ on the road. But even though we know the end of the story, I think that sometimes we're still afraid. because we still had that same kind of hope. We have this hope, and we're told that Jesus came and saved the world. We're told that the crucifixion and the resurrection changed everything. Yet we're still living in a world of suffering. We're still living in a world of violence and vengeance. And I think maybe we're afraid because the world is a little bit scary, and maybe we're afraid that the story isn't true. 2,000 years later, maybe we don't know what to think about a story of a physical resurrection. And maybe we're confused about who or what God is. Like the women, we don't really know what's going on, and we're not sure what's going to happen. Or maybe we're afraid because we do know that it's true. If this story is true, what does that mean for us? If this story of a radical preacher who took on the powers and principalities, the story of a man who said that everyone is equal, no matter their gender, no matter their income class, no matter who they are, what does that mean for us if we're called to follow such a radical preacher, such a radical man? If the story is true, maybe that's why we're afraid. The really interesting part about this first gospel, this earliest gospel, ending with this cliffhanger, ending with the storyteller telling us that these women told no one because they were afraid. Well, that part of the story can't be true. Because here it is 2,000 years later, and we're still telling the story. Those women must have told someone. And whoever they told must have told someone. And they told someone, and they told someone. And that story has spread throughout the world and throughout the ages and has come down to us today, because that's the power of this story. Even though it's scary at times, the resurrection shows us the power of hope and the power of love. Christ's passion on the cross shows us that no amount of vengeance and violence can overcome forgiveness. Because even though we keep returning to this world of violence, even though we keep continuing this cycle of death and vengeance, at every turn, God meets us with love and with hope. And we return all the time to this story of forgiveness on a cross. The story where Jesus shows us that God's kingdom, the world that God wants us to have, is possible. That it's possible to live in a world where we give all that we are to God. And that we live out our love for God by demonstrating that love for our neighbors. And not only the people that we love, but the ones that we call strangers and enemies. Now, if you follow along in this story in your Bible, you'll notice that there are a couple other verses, that things are bracketed. And scholars believe that there was a couple, actually two other endings that were pasted on to the end of this story. One about 100 years later, and one maybe even a couple hundred years later. Because somewhere along the line, people decided this ending wasn't enough. That they needed to hear the rest of the story. They needed to see the risen Christ. They needed to know that people had faced him and seen him. I believe that those women overcame those fears. And I believe that we can overcome our fears by telling this story, by living out the gospel, by sharing how we see God, how we encounter the risen Christ in our lives with others, by letting others know through our words and through our actions that we believe that a better world is possible. This story continues. Because no matter how many other endings they've tacked onto it, the story is not over. The story of the resurrection began in that garden so many years ago, and it continues today here in Sudbury by our actions. So when you leave today, I invite you to go out carrying that hope with you, carrying the story of the resurrection, and go out and demonstrate God's love for you by loving others, by feeding the hungry, by offering forgiveness, by being as loving as you can be, speaking up for the oppressed, seeking equality, doing all of those things that itinerant preacher taught us so many years ago, by living out a radical love that cost him his life. So we started this story the week after Christmas, and here we are at Easter, and we are finished with the story of Mark's gospel. But the story is not over yet. As we walk away from the empty tomb this Easter, even if we are trembling and afraid, let's work together to spread the story of God's love, Christ's resurrection, and the power of the Holy Spirit in all of us. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen.